I mean, sometime this year, but preach, you know, there is a blessing. Hope I, you know, encourage you guys, encourage myself as well, you know. Just being able to come up here and preach and being able to, you know, encourage the congregation, just, it is a blessing. Was, you know, God gave me so many talents and being able to work my hands. But even to come out here and to preach for you, you know, it is a blessing to God. My sermon is Heaven is Home. We talked about, you know, talking about home, or, you know, like, oh, going home after this, you know, after worship, make sure we're going home. We're thinking about, you know, what heaven is to us as well, but also our home. Heaven is our life's end, our journey's goal. It is our reason for going on. It is a rich source of every single spiritual investment we make down here on earth. The fact is, very few of us think of our heart's home, even though ultimately it's the bottom line why we're here. I guess I used to get hung up on those trees of gold, the gates of pearl. It was hard to remember that gold was as symbols. They were pointing a beautiful reality. We shouldn't make mistakes of symbols for reality they only represent. Some people say that it's just like heaven being here with you. I don't know how heaven can be better than this. I mean, for us, being able to say that, you know, we know how heaven is. We remember reading it, how it looks. It would be like going up to the interstate roadside and says, Frankenmuth, 50 miles, and mistaking that the sign for a wonderful reality that it only represents a beautiful city 50 miles down the road. Heaven became, most of all, a place where there will be no more tears, no more pain, and no more sorrow. In the words of now, something so glorious is going to happen that it will atone for every single tear and for every single tear we've ever cried. God is going to give us the key that will make us sense of what now seems to be such as our suffering. Heaven is going to be a place for no more disappointments, no more grief, but joy. Heaven's joy. The home of our heart is going to be a place of such joy. Described for you, I'm going to read Revelations 21. Revelations 21, 30 verse 11. Heaven, the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me, he had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a city, as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth, and is measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, its breadth, and its height are equal. Then he measured his wall 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of this wall was all jasper, and the city was of pure gold and clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, and the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardonyx, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth of topaz, and the tenth crystal of praise, the 11th jasper, the 12th emerald. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So imagine for us as humans to be able to see this. You know, we can imagine, you know, something so marvelous, so beautiful to see. But for our home, you know, being as heaven, you know, seeing that. Some people think of, you know, heaven here on earth, like they're in heaven. Some people think of, you know, like for as 100, this is heaven. To see in that as 100, that would be great. You know, seeing all those bucks. But yes, some people think that is heaven. This here is a garden. It is a garden in Dubai. It is, yes, it is almost a full island that they had made of this as a garden. Some people think this is heaven as well. Some people think being at a Detroit Lions football game, being right there, right at the airline, courtside, seeing at the field, seeing this. Some people think, you know, being there would be great. Just being at, you know, so many places that people think that this, that they are heaven. But heaven, or, you know, but heaven for us is, as I read before, it can be, you know, such joy. It is the joy of heaven's joy. Heaven is visible on earth. We get a glimpse of it down here on earth. When your kids graduate from high school, or when your first grandchild is born, when you watch your daughter walk across the aisle, or you look into her eyes of the one you love, you get a glimpse of that eternal joy. Heart-bursting happiness, moments that seem timeless. That kind of joy happens rarely here on earth. It happens in glimpses. Heaven is a place of joy. A place where people humble themselves like little children. It's a place where, in joy, we lose all sense of time. Joy, in essence, is eternal. We love Jesus, the Lord of joy, who is eternal. Heaven is close to the suffering. Why is heaven so near for those who, near for those of us who suffer loss? We can't conceive a child or lose the use of our arms or legs or the limbs of a loved one or the ability to think clearly. Why is heaven the home of our hearts? For one thing, I am convinced that our hardships and our heartaches make us what to go there. Broken homes, broken bodies, and broken hearts serve to crush the illusions that the earth can only really satisfy, that earth can never really keep its promises. Only the hope of heaven can truly move our passions off the planet. With God's nose full, well, it isn't going to satisfy us anyway. Only the hope of heaven can place our focus, for one day we will find glorious fulfillment of all our heart longs for a place of belonging. I want to read in Romans 8, 17. And of children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that he may also be glorified together. We are knowing that we are there with him. Hardships are always have a way of driving us into a deeper and higher into the heart of God, onward and upward to our heart's home, heaven. Heaven is there. Heaven is for here and now. I want to read in Isaiah 35. Starting with verse 4. Say to those who are full-hearted, fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance to the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Also in verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yours is such a glorious future. God has placed hardship in your life to remind you that heaven is not just for the future. Heaven is for here. And it is for now. For this present moment, this instant, heaven is meant to bless your path today and to be a source of hope and encouragement in the midst of your heartaches. If we are faithful to the Lord Jesus in our suffering down here on earth, he's going to be faithful in sharing his highest glory with us in heaven. If we who suffer are the ones who have the highest confidence of that one day entering Zion with singing, and everlasting joy is going to crown our heads. Sorrow and sighing will flee away, and joy will overtake us. It will overwhelm us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us but far more exceedingly in eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Heaven gives us a perspective. When the Bible says that our afflictions are light, it's not saying that we are in spiritual denial if we feel pain, if we're depressed, if we're hurting. The Bible is only saying that in comparison, the only weight of glory being accrued on your behalf, then those things are like a comparison. And those problems and pain are only momentary when you consider how fleeting, how short, how fast this life is. When you handle your hardship gracefully down here on earth, God is going to give you such a foretaste of glory divine. As human beings, we are so little and tiny and compact. We're just too small for how big God's joy really is. We enter the joy of the Lord, it is so grand and glorious and great, it breaks the human container. It's just the same of our infiniteness, because it is so infinite. And we have to cry, and we have to pray. The overflow has to spill. I think this is why joy, like love, can break our hearts like nothing else. It overtakes us and it enraptures us. We are in ecstasy, like stepping in the back of Elijah's chariot, being carried off up to heaven. We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that when we grab hold of the grace that, and say, yes, it is, yes, to it, and to no grumbling, we then have the highest confidence of one day sharing the Christ's highest glory. It's like heaven takes the focus off ourselves. I'm convinced that heaven will not be boring. In heaven, self-forgetfulness about our situation will be second nature. We can be bored only if we step outside of ourselves and stop to see how we are doing, how we are feeling, and how we are performing. Such self-awareness in heaven will be totally foreign. And for that reason, absolutely nothing is going to be tedious. Heaven is real. Joy in heaven is going to be a substance. Nothing abstract, nothing inert about heaven's joy. We will eat from the tree of life. We will taste hidden manna like honey. We will smell truth like a flower. We will wear righteousness like clothes. We will hold a morning star like a scepter. In short, we will enter the joy of the Lord. There is nothing abstract or inert or passive about those verbs. Eating, tasting, smelling, wearing, holding, everything in heaven will have more reality, more substance than we can ever imagine. It is earth that is whimsy and vague and vigorous, not heaven. Heaven is real. The joy of arriving in heaven will be more than matched for what we see and hold and taste and smell and experience when we arrive. The joy will include climbing to the top of the mountain and enjoying the view from the top. Heaven's joy is the thrill of getting there and all arriving at the same time. Like a grand story, our joy will never have an end. It will always be an enchanted beginning, or better yet, the end and the beginning. Just like God is both Alpha and Omega, the first and last, beginning and the end, so too is eternity. Our crowning joy will be losing ourselves and yet finding ourselves in Christ. Right now we are We are hid from Christ, with Christ, and God. And what we shall be is yet appear. It says in God's word. But one day we will no longer be hid with Christ and God. We are going to be turned inside out, face forward, and to be known fully and completely in Him. We have about, also, we have 66 hymns in our hymn of Him. We have 66 hymns about heaven in our hymn books that we have, you know, knowing that what heaven is about. But for us to see Him and knowing that what it is, it's glorious. You know, heaven is joy. And for one day to hear, you know, hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. So heaven is our home. In conclusion, can you see why I'm saying that heaven is much more than streets of gold, gates of pearl, and fancy mansions? It is a world of joy, a world of timelessness. It is a place where we will be, where we will be, where we belong. At home for our hearts, in light of all of this, we just have to stand with joy before our great God. Down here, we turn from the trivial pursuits, the fleeting pleasures, the pretty resentments, and the materialism, to be caught up in the gladness of God. Let's see our suffering down here on earth as opportunities to be seized. Let's redeem the moment, for the moments are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Just remember, heaven is our home. As we're knowing that, and what is told in Acts 2:28, from Paul, telling us, and Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, so you receive the Holy Spirit. Also in Acts 22. Verse 16. And now while you're waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Mark 16. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. As you knowing that here in heaven, or here on earth, we knowing that this is a place of travel. We knowing that there's a, you know, like I said before, there's a couple of hymns in our books that says, you know, this is a place of travel. We're just here temporarily. We know that we have to, being able to do this, you know, to be here in heaven, to be here, one day we'll be here in heaven, it's a joy. For us, being able to, just knowing that there is heaven, it is there, and it is our home. I feel like it's up to the song, I Am Resolved. If anybody would need anything, please stand up. Okay, please stand up and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world.